to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4 on The Usual Suspects. We are through the door and in headquarters today. Tomorrow, Good Friday, we will be at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North in the Canino exit. So if you want to join us, Barry and I will be right inside the front door. We will have Rudy's Barbecue. We will have lots of adult beverages from St. Arnold. We will have lots of fun and games. And if you need anything for your truck or trailer like Kevin McHale drives, you can get curb feelers, you can get neon sirens, and you can get big horns that sound like you're driving a cruise ship.
Man horn. That's what I need. Well, that sounds weird. I take
that back. Yeah, you want to stay away from man horns.
And without further ado, my good friend Kevin McHale on the line. Coach, you want a man horn for your truck?
As I said, let's stay away from that, boy.
I regretted it as soon as I said it, Coach.
Immediately. Yeah, I regretted you saying it as soon as you said it.
That's great.
Coach, how great is it when you can sit in the studio and eat pizza rolls and salad while on the air?
Yeah, especially when you get caught eating a salad. That was the worst part. They said, like, we're not on air, so I was putting my salad away. We're on air. I went, oh, gosh. We had a lot of laughs. We had a lot of laughs. After we took that game. All game long, I kept on saying, if Jackie Moon can wrestle a bear in semi-pro, Tony Romo can go in the game for the Dallas Mavericks. Throw him in there.
Yes.
Then I realized that they had no contract, actual contract. They had no, like, if something would happen, oh my gosh. Tony Romo would own the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban would be the ball boy.
Now, Coach, isn't there a rule? Like, I thought there was a rule in terms of placement on the bench, because you can only have three assistants in the front row.
Yeah.
And I thought from the standpoint of the guys suiting up in uniform that you had to have a contract to be in that front row.
Yeah, I know that I thought about that too. I mean, just even having him on your bench. I don't know. I mean, you know what though? I thought it was kind of cool. I really did. I thought, you know, Romo's there. The Mavericks aren't going anywhere. You know, Rick had his arm around him, and I was just chuckling because Rick's really intense. And I think Rick had just kind of said, hey, at this point, let's have Jackie Moon wrestle the bear, baby. I mean, I said, come on. Yeah, that's all we need. I wanted bear wrestling, and no one would bring it to me.
Coach, I'm with you. I thought it was great. I didn't have a problem if he would have played, did you? I mean,
no,
some people felt like it would have cheapened the game.
I honestly was saying, throw him in there for a game. Who cares? You know what I mean? And look it. And I know everybody loses their mind, and they start saying the integrity of the game. When you sit out, you know, when you have a game and between the two teams, they're sitting out their 9 best players, how much integrity is left in that game?
Right.
You know what I mean? So wrestle bears. And if you get out with your life, just consider it a blessing. When the bear broke out. That's one of my favorite parts of that movie.
You've been our judge and jury all year, and I'm glad you finally sided with Barry on something, because I was that guy that said, you know, get off my lawn, because I was saying that there was a roster spot to be had and it was a promo stunt and whatever, but that's fine. I can tolerate it, Coach.
Yeah, but you know what? Look, again, as I said, we'll end on this. If you don't play your 9 best players, what kind of integrity is left in that game?
Look, Brooklyn,
honestly, there's none.
There's a theme here. Brooklyn needed to rest their six best players because they were preparing for the lottery.
Oh, that one, I literally went, you got to be kidding me. And when this resting stuff started, I said, oh, no. And they were, my coaches were like, what? And I said, I was in Houston at the time, and it kind of became more prevalent. I said, it's going to become a badge of honor now. Like, I'm so good, they rest me when I'm healthy. Mm. And that's, and I'm like, that is the worst thing that can happen. Because these guys are on social media, and all this stuff means a lot to them, as opposed to wins and losses, which are the only thing that means anything when you're playing professional sports, will be like, ah, well, you know, I really wanted to go tonight, but yeah, the coach said I'm so valuable, I need to rest. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to become a status symbol, and guys will be pining for it, and then claiming I didn't want to rest. Now, that's one thing I'll give Harden and Westbrook credit about, man. They, you know, they played it out. They went through everything, and I think that's what you have to do. I really do, and I give those guys lots of credit. And this whole resting thing has driven me crazy. That's why I want to see Jackie Moon wrestle the damn bear.
You're not going to let that go, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. No one would let me do that either.
Now, do you have a vote for MVP?
No. I'm just able to talk on air and try to like get like guys like Matt Weiner, who won't tell me what he's going to do to do it. I wanted to steal his vote, by the way. Matt Weiner has a vote on the TNT, NBA TV, and TNT desk.
Yep.
I wanted to steal his vote. I thought I should steal his vote.
You should.
All right, so which way are you going? Because I've had Rockets fans tweeting me. They're all mad at you because they said they heard you're going Westbrook.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I said before Christmas, when I didn't think he would do it, he'd probably 20 games in, he'd maybe play a quarter of the games. I said, if Westbrook ends up, their team ends up winning, getting in the playoffs, and he ends up, you know, getting a triple-double, I will vote for him as, if I had a vote, which I don't unless I steal someone's vote. If I had to vote for the guy, I would vote for Westbrook because that's something I didn't think was going to happen. When Larry didn't do it and Magic didn't do it and Michael didn't do it and LeBron didn't do it, I didn't think that would happen. So, yeah, I do. And I don't want to hear any of this meaningless numbers and stuff like that. They win games when that guy goes out and performs at that highest level. I know we'll talk about it in a minute. And if you're the Houston Rockets, right now you're thinking what we can't have four games in our upcoming series against Oklahoma City, where Russell Westbrook has the 40, 15, and 13 type numbers. Because I'm telling you what, man, it is hard to beat a team when one guy is doing that. Overall, Houston's got a better team. Overall, I think Houston will win the series. But, man, if you that strikes fear in your heart that Russell has four of those games, and, man, as my man Michael Ray Richardson said, the ship be sinking if that happens.
What was the big deciding factor for you between the two? It was the record, or because so many people are saying, because I say they play similar styles, but, you know, the big thing is that Westbrook, you know, 20 more triple-doubles, and he made a really bad team better, whereas the Rockets, and you can go back and forth on many different fronts, but the Rockets, everybody thought was going to be a 6-7-8 seed. They're the 3 seed, and they've just flourished all over the place, and he had to play a new position.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think in that flourishing with the Rockets did, I think Eric Gordon would be sixth man of the year. I'd vote for him sixth man of the year. I think Mike D'Antoni should be coach of the year, even though there's some, I think later on in the year, some guys really, you know, what Spoelstra was able to do in the middle of the season with Miami after they just stunk for 25 games is pretty amazing. But I think Mike D'Antoni, so I think they'll get a lot of credit for that. It's as simple as that Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double. And now you can say, oh, James should have got more. You know what? He didn't. James didn't average a triple-double. Had James averaged a triple-double, hell, I all along until it became apparent that Westbrook was going to average a triple double. I was saying James. I thought James was the MVP for all the reasons you said. They had more wins. They were 41-41, I think, last year or around that number. And they have more wins. They went from being a projected sixth, seventh, eighth seed to a third seed. Those are all really important things. And James has had a great year. But there's just something about that, you know, Westbrook's ability to do that, and and push his team, which I don't think is a really. I've watched them, and I'm like, wow, that team is going to be a sixth seed, honestly, on the back of on the back of Westbrook. So, there's a case to be made for both, but I'm just telling you why I decided a Westbrook.
No, I appreciate your honesty. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with one more segment with you because we got some more to get to, and we want to get your previews on some of the playoffs as well, and the fact that you will actually be working games, which I like to hear, minus the salad and the pizza rolls. So hold tight. If you want to get on the internet in the meantime and see if you can get a man horn, we'll let you slide on that. But we'll be right back with much more with Coach Kevin McHale right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry here in Houston. Kevin McHale somewhere on a very sunny golf course, I'm sure, waiting to get off to the driving range after he gets done with us. But I appreciated him spending some time with us. Before we left off, Coach, we got into your MVP, but Barry wanted to get to you on some things pertinent to this year's postseason.
Yeah, like who you got? Like who's your finals matchup? I mean, we could go round by round, but let's be real.
Yeah, no, I think Golden State, Cleveland. I'm hedging on Cleveland. I'm I don't know, man. I want to see these guys play. I've heard all this. We're waiting for the playoffs to turn it on, and that's a dangerous thing. So, I think they have the most talent. I think that you got LeBron James, who's just a phenomenal talent, and every team he's on has a chance to win. And then you got Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and their supporting cast. I think if they get it together, but the way they've played, honestly, if you're Washington, Boston, or Toronto, you're thinking, we got a chance at these guys. Hey, Indiana got to be saying, you know what? Hey, we got to play really well. But Cleveland's been crappy the last couple months. Their defense has been non-existent. I mean, their defense has been just hideous.
Yeah, they're going up 107 a game now.
I watched them, and they didn't even try in the first half against San Antonio. It was actually embarrassing. I was doing the game, and I was like, wow. I mean, just try, okay? I mean, you evidently don't want to be here. You got no interest in this game, but at least try. And it was really bad. They seemed to pick it up. I watched them play against the Celtics one night, just a week ago or so. When the Celtics had they won it, really would have put a death grip on getting that number one seed, which they ended up with anyways. But Cleveland just smothered them. I was like, whoa, okay, well, maybe there is a switch they can turn on. But all that being said, Golden State, Cleveland, and I think Golden State is just – they've played so well the last 20, 25 games. I just don't see anybody beating them again. I mean, they're as good as it gets, and they've got this regular season whiter. I think that's the third straight year of 64 or 5 or more wins, which is phenomenal.
All right, so Coach, I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with you. Warriors, Cavs would make sense. So give us a surprise team that could inevitably, I mean, or has the best chance, you think, of surprising folks and making it to the finals in the East and the West?
In the East, you know what? I there's something about Washington and the way they played. I'll throw Washington in there. I would have said Toronto earlier, but Kyle got hurt, and I'm not sure Kyle's in great playing shape right now, not so far as his lungs, but just as far as his rhythm and stuff. But Washington, Beal and Wall, they can score a ton of points. They get up and down. They have enough bigs around there to rebound the ball and protect the rim a little bit. And then, they're all their players, their third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth guys, they're all playing pretty well, or have all had stretches where they've played really, really well for that team. And I think that's really important. I mean, you've got to, your shooters have got to make shots. Your complementary players have got to play well. And throughout the year, I've seen Washington have those guys just play at such a high level for them, playing off of Wall and Beal, that they get that in the playoffs. And, they're going to be, I think they'll be a tough out. On the Western Conference side, I think Houston or San Antonio could really make some noise. I really do. I think, you know, it looks like they'll meet in the second round. And the winner of that could give Golden State a run for their money. I think Golden State's vulnerable, and some nights I watch them play. Other nights I just think, oh man, they're hitting stride. The thing that I like about Golden State is their defense. It picks up, and that's the thing about Golden State has in the last 25, 30 games. And that's the one thing that scares me a little bit about Houston versus Golden State. I think San Antonio's better defensive team than Houston. Is Houston would just try to get into a shootout with Golden State, and that's like, you know, man, that's a dangerous game, boy. That I just don't know if anybody can just get in shootouts and say we're going to beat Golden State exclusively on our ability to score more points than they do. And man, that's a tough road to hoe. But so those are kind of my like dark horses. I think Houston, San Antonio, winner of that. Probably playing the Golden State Warriors in the conference finals. You know, they have a chance.
All right, Coach. So you're working, right? What's do you have a series, or are you just working on given nights?
No, I am working right now. I really wanted to do the Western Conference, but right now I am doing a Sunday, Tuesday, Boston. And, Boston, Chicago, which will be interesting. And then I am flying to Indiana and see my boy Larry Bird in the Indiana Pacers versus Cleveland. And then I am going back out east in the early part of the following week, and I got a few more games out there. So that's kind of my schedule over the next week, and everything's subject to change, you know. But that's where I'll go. So I'll be doing the first couple Boston games for TNT.
So the Celtics reunion tour is on, and then if you do end up by chance coming to H-Town, of course you'll join us in studio, and then we'll play golf or something. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I would love to be able. I think that would be a really fun. I think it's going to be a fun series. I think it's going to. I would love to be back in Houston to see all the fellas.
Tell me this. Tell me the keys for both sides. I mean, you and I have talked about the playoffs. Inevitably, it will slow down a little bit. You got to believe that both teams are going to try and take the ball out of the other team's best players' hands. But can Oklahoma City slow down the Rockets and that three-point shooting?
Overall, no, I don't think so. I, again, as I said earlier, I think the biggest fear is that Russell has four just superhuman games, and you just can't overcome that. No, overall, I think Houston's a better team. I think Houston has better second option guys. I thought getting Lou Williams was big for them later on in the year. He can get offense on his own. You know, Eric Gordon, who was Sixth Man of the Year award, in my opinion, award winner. He can create offense for you. They're going to shoot threes. You know, James is playing at a really high level. My biggest issue with them, versus OKC is, can OKC just pound them on the boards? You know, can OKC with, Adams and Cantor and Sabonis and some of the bigger bodies that throw out there, can they just beat them up on the boards when the Rockets go small? And I think that gives you a chance in playoff games. There's historically a little bit more missing, especially as the series goes on and teams get comfortable with each other. And then, you know, you've got to be able to defensive rebound if you're Houston. But overall, I think Houston's a better team. I think that they're both pretty set in their styles as far as how they're going to play. And I think all the team's really comfortable with who they are. Both teams are comfortable with Russell and James dominating the ball as much as they do and everybody playing off those two. So I think, you know, it should be a really fun series. I expect OKC to probably win a few games, but overall I think Houston is just a better team.
All right, Coach, I've been getting a lot of tweets from a lot of Rockets fans, and they want to know, when you look at what's going on this year with the Rockets, is it frustrating to see because it didn't work out for you in Houston? And then they were saying, you know, did you have a similar offensive system? And I was trying to explain to them, look, you were trying to appease both Dwight and James, and, you know, Dwight was an impending free agent, and they were worried about early on, they were worried about making sure he was a part of it and getting his touches and everything else. And then later, you know, that all changed again, and you were getting messages from above. So can you break it down, like, difference from last year to this year, and then why James is flourishing so much?
Well, he's in shape. He was in terrible shape last year when he came to camp. He had he was bad. You know, he was in bad shape. He was heavy. He wasn't making shots. He wasn't playing well to start off the early part of the year. Regardless of his numbers, he just wasn't himself. And it took him a while to get in shape. And I think it's a completely different year. I think all the drama's gone between the Harden Howard stuff and that. You know, I mean, that was always just kind of on the periphery of stuff. It never was really it wasn't one of those things that tore the team apart. There was always just a little bit of friction in there. But we were able to go with that team to the Western Conference Finals. You know, I mean, that team was able to come together and be down 3-1 in a series against the Clippers and come back. And so, I think that probably got a little bit too much play. Were they really good together, and did they really gel? No, they did not. Dwight and James did not really gel and everything. It wasn't anybody's problem. It wasn't, you know, it was just sometimes two guys just aren't compatible, or they just don't play well together, or whatever the case may be. But no, I mean, you know, when I got let last year, I said, JB, you're a month away from these guys being in shape to play NBA basketball. We had a terrible training camp. Guys were hurt. It was just dysfunctional. Guys were coming in and out. Ty Lawson, I think, had just gotten a day or two before the exhibition, our first practice, had just gotten out of a rehab thing, and it was just a funky year. And honestly, most of that funk was the fact that I think James said it at the end of the year. James wasn't James, and that team has got more options now with Lou Williams and Gordon. But really, back then, you needed James to be James, because Dwight at his best was not a guy that you wanted to throw the ball to all the time in the low post and play out of that. So your second option was just hard to find. But no, I don't, you know what, look at it. I had fun when I was in Houston. I really did. I mean, you know, there was some trauma and some crap, and you always didn't get along with everybody. And I may have had a few beefs with Dwight and a couple of beefs with James, but big deal. You know, I mean, I had fun. And no, I look at it, I'm happy for Mike D'Antoni. I would say he's coach of the year. I think, you know, one of the biggest fights I had with James was just getting out in the wing, where he's phenomenal. Where Harden is great is when he's out ahead of the pack, it's a 3-on-2, it's a 4-on-3, it's a 2-on-1. He's unguardable in that, but he would hang back for the ball all the time and drive me crazy. And so we'd go round and round on that, and I wanted him to get out and run. And it was, so D'Antoni must have seen that or talked to maybe someone who was there, and he said, "Oh, hell with it. James is going to stay in the back row. Let's give him the ball, call him the point guard." And that was genius. I think that D'Antoni just saved himself a lot of hassles, trying to get James out running and stuff like that. And I think he did a great job with them, and I'd vote Mike Coach of the Year. But no, I have no, I'm, for those who know me, I look at, man, life goes on, and I've always been a guy that tomorrow is always something interesting going to happen, and what happened yesterday is over.
Well, and I've said there's only so much I can say, too. But, you know, unless you really want to break down the stuff that people don't know, they don't realize how many different variables and factors go into a lot of this stuff. But the bottom line was, it wasn't the ideal situation. You guys made the most of it. And just making the Western Conference Finals, I don't think people realize what an accomplishment that was, regardless of what happened in that Clippers series. But from where you came to where you got to, I thought that was in itself a great accomplishment. So nothing should be taken away from that regard. You can take tons away from your golf game, but I can't take anything away from what you guys accomplished.
My golf game's improving, my brother. I mean, you live in Scottsdale. One thing that happens, your golf game improves, and you're not coaching. Oh, it's just wonderful. I tell you what, this is and how can I complain? Like I said, Mr. Alexander decided to pay me for two years and 2 3/4 years of vacation time.
Yeah, I wish I got that deal.
When you think about that, that's not really a bad gig.
I was aiming for that deal, but I think after you got you drained the pot on that one.
Yeah, the pot was drained a little bit on that one. You're right about that.
Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Was the Final Four good?
Yeah, it was. Too many calls, man. That last game, if I had been closer to the court and I didn't have to run all the way down, I might have tackled one of those referees and taken his whistle away. Oh, they drove me crazy.
Well, you were in a football stadium after all, so you could have had a legal tackle at that point.
That's exactly right. I tell you, but no one would even flag me for any kind of violation because they needed one of those referees off the floor. There was too many calls and stuff. But overall, you know what? It was in a big football arena. It was probably about as intimate as you can make it for those things, 77,000 people. But I just finished with this. If they would just take that NCAA, and I know they're going to lose millions and millions of dollars because you can't sell 77,000 tickets, but you put that in a 20,000-seat arena with that amount of energy, and it would be phenomenal, the vibe in that arena for those 20,000 people.
You just broke my record for use of phenomenal in one segment, Coach. I love you for that.
All right.
We are going to be flagged for excessive celebration, but we appreciate you spending some time with us. Have a great Easter weekend, and we will catch up with you down the road. Good luck doing the playoffs.
And watch Jackie Moon wrestle the bear. Goodbye, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Kevin McHale right here on The Usual Suspects.